This episode of FilmSack is brought to you by our friends at HostPapa.com. HostPapa's powerful web hosting solutions and cloud-based productivity tools are perfect for small business owners, digital entrepreneurs, and freelancers. Go to HostPapa.com/FilmSack today and use the exclusive promo code FilmSack and save 15% off their popular shared web hosting packages. That's HostPapa.com/FilmSack.
Ah, yes. Ooh. It's good, yep.
Oh!
What happened?
Oh, you jinxed it.
It was going so well.
Then you are just in time to hear the great Reed Richards ask me for help. You know, you made a lot of folks at MIT feel like a junior high science fair, so you'll excuse me if I say for the moment.
You back this mission. And I'll sign over a fair percentage of any applications.
Number 75. And its applications and patents.
What about his firstborn?
Ben.
Come on. 25% of a billion is enough to keep the lights on for a while, isn't it?
Now picture that, but everywhere. This is FilmSack. Oh, sure.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to FilmSack episode 297. I'm Scott Johnson.
No.
Really?
We just talked about what episode number
299
is
what I meant. How come that didn't do that? Okay, there we go. It's right now. Why is it wrong on the spreadsheet? Frick.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. 299.
Get an update in 3 weeks.
One episode away from 300. 300, everybody. We are mining the very depths of film entertainment for all mankind. I'm joined today by Brian. Few days in space. What's the worst thing that can happen, except I can't read that right, Dunaway?
All right.
Dear Martha Storm, I have no legs. Your son blew them off when he blew up the trash barge I was working on in the harbor. He's a real dick. I hope he never becomes Captain America. Yours truly, Bitter Barge Man. P.S. Tell Johnny to put on a shirt. He makes me have tinglies where my crotch used to be. P.S.S. That thing fella has a really big hat. Where's one acquire such a hat? That large, big and tall and large lids? Ask Scott Johnson. It's huge.
You know what? I was thinking about that because I can't get a hat to fit me. They're all too small. I have to go online, get some custom bullshit made. It sucks. So wow. me and the thing, big me and Chickless, we get it. We know what's up.
You can relate.
Also with us, Randy, Reed Richards, more like Reach Richards. Am I right? Jordan.
Aloha, Scott. Brian, did I ever tell you guys about the time I worked in an experimental science therapy machine shop?
No.
It was a true story.
Okay.
It was a true story. When you treat a patient in a machine and it fixes their condition, they can later just enter the same machine and turn the switch around and they get their condition back.
Oh,
right.
Is that how
you
they
turn it to mangle, right?
You would not believe how much the dudes who worked there loved playing switch roulette and jumping into the breast reduction machine.
Did they droop down like Mr. Fantastic's face?
Right.
The boobies.
Man boobs, no man boobs. Man boobs,
man boobs. No man boobs.
On off. On off.
Finally with us, we have Brian, like a great big Dr. Doom rubber condom, Ibbot.
You couldn't have described this better. We've got to team up to stop Dr. Doom. Johnny, you create a ring of fire to keep him in one place. Sue, create a force field around him so he can't hurt any civilians. Ben, when I give the signal, I want you to throw a taxi at him. Meanwhile, I'm going to stretch out into a big blanket and wrap tightly around him. Don't worry, team. Of course, I'll make sure my junk is in his face.
Right. Don't worry, team. I love that.
Mr. Fantastic is the ultimate teabagger.
Oh, yeah,
he totally is, yeah.
Yeah, whatever. Say what you want about Fantastic Four in general. He's my least favorite power in the whole comic book universe. But
I think we should talk about that.
Well, we can, but I'm going to say that in the context of Fantastic Four, I've always liked it there. But outside of that, like when he's just guest starring in somebody else's comics or sure. Mr. Plastic Man or whatever he is, the DC equivalent, Like, when they're just stretching around, it just annoys me. It's like, this is not cool.
On the DC side, you had two of them. You had Plastic Man, but then you also had Elongated Man.
Oh, right.
Yeah, Plastic Man was mostly for comedy, though, right? That,
yes, like his for sure.
Thing.
Yeah. But tell me about Elongated Man. What was his thing? He just same thing?
Can stretch just like Mr. Fantastic. Yeah,
I mean, it becomes long.
I want to say that he played a big role in the Identity Crisis thing. Sue Dibney. Was his wife, and I believe she got killed. She was the first death that kind of kicks off the Identity Crisis storyline.
Okay, but Elongated, really? They couldn't have had a better name.
Yeah, I know exactly. Yeah. It's DC. Listen, and I'm not a DC hater, but right. DC came up with some really stupid names. Just right, the fact that they have Lad, like it's always this Lad or that Lad, Matter Eater Lad.
I'm ready. Yeah. Okay, we got to just get right to this topic. All right.
Okay.
There are three places in our history, in all of our literature, there are three places where names go off the rails.
Right.
One, Sir Lancelot, the old. Like middle English naming of people that sounds like what they do.
Yeah.
Sure. Two, comic books. Yeah. Three, porn stars.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's the
elongated man.
That's the whole. Yeah. That, some Kangans, of that can cross over.
For example.
Yeah. but some of that is, you're right. It's like the holy trinity of shitty naming conventions.
Like, yeah. Right. You
know. Like I was thinking about this. I think maybe porn kind of has to, right? Like maybe in porn you have to have a guy named Dick Everly Skyward. But
really? Is that a real guy? Go.
It's actually a name from Boogie Nights. It's a faux name that's made up in the movie where Dirk Diggler is trying to come up with a name for himself.
And that's and where he, says, I don't remember that. I just saw that movie.
Dick Everly Skyward. Oh, and it's just like I kind of feel like porn has to do that, right? Like it's just the nature of the beast. But comic books. I mean, comic books weren't this far out of the mainstream, were they?
Well, I mean, at the time, we got to look at the timing of all of this, right? Like the psychedelic sort of 60s, 70s era of comic books had a lot of really bad, weird ideas that, you know, you might have some fondness for now. But at the time, Silver Surfer is a terrible idea. It's a guy on a surfboard from space. It's just a bad idea. Right. And Silver Surfer is literally describing what he looks like. A guy with a surfboard, he's silver, right. Silver Surfer. But like Brian's point about Matter Eater Lad and Aqua Lad and all the lads from DC's era of like 50s team up, everyone needs a sidekick thing was very much a piece of that era. And also they thought they were talking to, you know, 8-year-olds. And nobody else. Like there was no older guys collecting comics or anything. So I think it's just a time thing when this stuff happens. With porn, it's perennial. It just happens.
Because porn is so far out of the mainstream. Porn is so unacceptable to so many people that you get to not only do you get to have fun when you're making up those names and you're in that business, but you kind of have to.
Right.
You kind of have to celebrate your distance from the mainstream. I just like it was just strange to me to start thinking about it in those terms, like what's going on in comic books?
Yeah.
You know, why is this guy, you know, this guy or that guy, crap. There was a really great one that Brian Ibbett just named.
Oh, Matter Eater Lad?
Yes.
It's so much fun to say, though.
Matter Eater Lad.
And again, let's bring in one of our new recruits. He's Matter Eater Lad. Nobody in the world has to ask what he does.
No.
He just eats crap.
He eats matter.
What does he do? What does he do now?
Hey, you guys, we got some matter to eat. Who should we call to get this job done here?
The big example from this movie is Victor Von Doom.
Yeah. which is his name in the comic, which has always been stupid. Mr. Fantastic, always dumb. Like these are Stan Lee-isms to the T.
Yeah, this is early on superhero group naming. So that's one of the reasons why this one's a fun one to talk about superhero powers, because it's kind of like they had a little meeting and said, okay, so what's some of the powers you think we should do here? Well, being on fire, that'd be cool.
Yeah.
Being invisible, everybody wants to be invisible,
but
right?
Like, if you made this in 2016, you would have called them Stretch, Invisipoof, and freaking Rockman.
No. You've been playing too much Pokemon Go.
I caught an Invisipoof this morning. It was fantastic. but it does seem like, I mean, it's Stan Lee to the T. Like, this is what he did back then. Everything's fantastic. Yeah. Everything's Excelsior. And these names and all this, these conventions are there. And what bugs me about movies like Fantastic Four 05 is that they feel the need to try to retcon
why.
Like,
we're going to call it Fantastic 405, like it's about the highway.
Right, right. The Fantastic 405. It's a little backed up today, but it's fantastic otherwise.
I live about a quarter of a mile from that highway.
It's a horrible highway. But anyway, or I'm thinking of the 409. What's the one that's always just wall-to-wall people?
The 405.
405, yeah. Okay. I want to die in there when I'm in that.
Yeah, the 405 splits off in Irvine, California, and runs all the way up through Los Angeles, and it's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's bad. It's like a solid mass. That's where we need Matter Eater Lad, is to come eat some of that matter.
That'd By the way, that's a great highway to play Pokemon Go on in the car.
Oh, I'll bet.
Oh, yeah, you can. Yeah, you're never going faster than 5 miles per hour. You probably hatch eggs like crazy.
Yeah, it thinks you're traveling. That's interesting. Now, look at that positive spin you put on an otherwise dark place. That's amazing. All right, so it's the 05 version of Fantastic Four, and Scott Fletcher has a little bit of a blurb here about it, so we're going to let him have his say.
Fantastic Four. During a space voyage, cosmic rays alter four scientists, including Reed Richards, who gains the ability to stretch his body, and Sue Storm, who can become invisible. Together, these Fantastic Four, although I've only mentioned two, must now thwart the evil plans of Dr. Doom.
Yeah, that was a weird thing in that description, not giving the other two. It's like Marianne and the rest, or the professor and the rest.
Yeah.
Anyway, The Thing is in there. You got your Michael Chiklis. This time, he would have been fresh off of The Shield. On The Shield, actually. Let me think about that. Yeah, 05.
Shield is still going on?
Yeah, I think so. That was 01 to 06 or 07. Wow, what a show that was. He's so good in it. And you know what? I'll say it already up top here. I think Michael Chiklis is fine in this. He's fine.
Great casting, if you ask me. I don't know. We gotta figure out where this movie failed, but I think the casting was great.
They're all good.
I think so too.
Johnny Storm was great. He was different enough from Captain America. Even like, I've never seen this, by the way. You should say that up front. Never saw this movie in the theaters, so I have no reference point for it other than I'm a F4 fan from the comics. I like the F4 key on my keyboard. And what else?
Alt F4.
It's all good. I feel like it's a thing that Marvel needs to get back and make a new thing of. So I have some interest in it, but I never saw this or the Silver Surfer thing or that new one from last year that Brian saw.
Yeah. You should see the Silver Surfer. A little bit better than this one. Not fantastic, but a little bit better.
Really?
You don't think the Silver Surfer was better?
No, I don't think so. I think it was unmemorable.
Was it same or worse? Worse or about the same?
I disagree. I think it was a little bit better. Randy,
I'm having a hard time remembering anything, and I remember seeing it in theaters.
Do you remember the Silver Surfer? Do you remember the Silver Surfer showing up?
Well, I remember the cloud.
Do you remember the thing? Right. Galactus cloud. That sucked.
One split second on the moon, when the Galactus cloud is passing in front of it, you get the Jack Kirby shape, the silhouette of Galactus.
Yeah.
And I got so excited
We're talking about the sequel to this film, right?
Yeah.
Yes, correct.
Right, Silver Surfer. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Have you not seen that one, Randy? Because I haven't seen either one of them.
No, I had seen this movie, the 2005 Fantastic Four. I saw it the weekend it opened, and I saw it in IMAX and whatever.
Yeah.
Wow.
But then the sequel, I really didn't even know existed.
Oh, wow.
Really?
I remember a lot of talk about it. But
let's call it Rise of the Silver Surfer. So
let's call it that. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I was surprised. I looked it up, and I'm all, "Oh, Lawrence Fishburne! I didn't know that." Huh.
Wait, Lawrence Fishburne plays the Silver Surfer?
Yeah.
No. Yes, he plays the Silver. What? No, Scott.
I didn't know.
No.
Oh, he doesn't.
Yes.
Oh,
yeah. Yes, Randy's the voice of the Silver Surfer. I'm looking at it right now.
That's amazing.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I guess because it was completely
not in the body. It's like that Darth Vader kind of thing, man.
Zion, we will surf to the center of Zion. All right.
Or the red pill, Reed Richards.
I'm slightly intrigued by the sequel now, just because I think that's interesting. But my memory of it when it came out in 07 is everybody was just like poo-pooing it. And like it did not leave a mark. Critics hated it. People who I knew saw it didn't like it. Like I don't remember anything about Silver Surfer being. And then I just didn't care about either of these movies. And I don't know why. I don't know why I didn't see him. But this is my first time. I was really hoping, since I was coming to it fresh, I might see what some people who like it see in it, and I came away.
There's people who like this?
There are people who like this. I came away from it.
You know what? I like it, and it's funny because I don't think I liked it as much at the time, But the new one is so, they get so many things wrong that when you look back at this one's like, wow, you know, this one, they, you know, they kind of screwed up a little bit with Dr. Doom, I think.
Mm-hmm. Oh, the my casting, gosh. His voice is like, out of all the casting, I think his voice was terrible for Dr. Doom because he just sounded so.
He just whispered.
I'm going
movie.
To get you, Reed Richards.
Exactly. It was that.
You know what my problem was initially in this movie? I eventually got over it, but I didn't really like how Mr. Fantastic, Yoan Griffith, looks so much to me like Julian McMahon, who plays Dr. Doom. They don't look identical. They're not twinsies. But at the beginning of the film, I have, there's the hot guy. There's the guy. There's the bald guy. There's the girl. Mm-hmm. And there's these two men, these two skinny men with black hair. And I'm like, are they supposed to be a thing? Are they like brothers or something? And it bothered me.
I didn't get that
me.
At all, but that was funny.
Yeah,
they are a little
too similar looking. The casting, I mean, casting the Fantastic Four dead on. Casting of Dr. Doom, I think, is flawed. And even just the way Dr. Doom, they get the vanity right for Dr. Doom, but just about everything else,
I will say this. Dr. Doom is my favorite Marvel supervillain. Always has been.
Really?
Really?
Out of every supervillain, I love Dr. Doom the best. And so it was going to be a hard task to make me happy with this Doc Doom, and they failed.
Yeah, it's not great. I'm sure it's worse in the blogger one with this new one, Ibit, which you saw.
Yes.
Have all of us seen
that
or just
too.
You? Oh, you did?
It was okay.
Really? Because people freaking hate that movie.
So here's the problem with the newest one. I can just get this out of the way. And it's what this one does. Yeah. It's what this one does really well. Turning my ringer off. Is that they get not just the casting right, but they get the characterizations right. Reed Richards is, you know, so focused on his science, he can't see the things that are happening right in front of him. And maybe not street smart, but he's science smart.
I haven't heard that term before. He's science smart.
Ben Grimm, you know, is trustworthy and loyal to a fault and is good-hearted. Johnny Storm is, you know, this kind of fly-by-the-see-your-pants kind of guy, literally. Mm-hmm. And Sue Storm never really had a great fleshing out in the comics. Mm-hmm. And so it's
hard to, for like the millionth time, they made like this token female character in the Fantastic Four. You almost get the feeling like someone drew up four characters and like, okay, one of them has to be a woman.
Right.
Like, okay,
right.
We'll give her the most useless power. And
I don't think they went, we got to have a woman in this. I think they went, we need to have a love story in this. That feels more Stan Lee. I don't think Stan Lee even back then went, we got to give a token woman in here.
I think it was more about somebody needs to have a romantic connection and there needs to be this.
Cause that was his thing, because that's the reason why, you know, Peter Parker, he has love interest. It's part of Stan Lee.
Yeah.
That's what he does.
I think it's kind of both, because they always felt like, it always felt like the way they wrote women in the early issues of the comics, Janet Van Dyne, when she was introduced as the Wasp, Sue Storm or Sue Richards, we're all about fashion magazines, shopping, and being there for their man.
And that was a sign of the times. That was a sign of the times. And there weren't a lot of women in the business. Yes, so they didn't really as much of dudes.
I think that's more like it. I mean, I don't know if it was a sign of the times, but it was the women that were working at Marvel Comics who, you know, and of course the wives and relationships that Jack Kirby and Stan Lee had. The characters are probably based very closely on them, but I mean, you know, you look at Mad Men, there were women in the business,
but they didn't have any strong influence.
Brian Dunaway, we're talking past each other. I'm not arguing that people should have been way, way, way more progressive with their character design than they were. I'm arguing that this character, like so many women character designs, was an afterthought. That you'll never find one who was created before a certain point in our history who had a great superpower. They just didn't. Wonder Woman has a freaking lasso. Like, it's just that's just the way it is.
They really came into their own during the 70s and 80s, and we started getting stronger characters.
Absolutely.
Invisible Girl is so underpowered initially that they have to keep retconning her powers upward. They have to keep ratcheting them. You know, like initially,
and she's the strongest one now. She's like the most powerful.
But initially, she's on a team of guys who are fighting, and what's she going to do in a fight?
Disappear.
She'll just visit and just stand over here. That's all she can do.
I'm gonna do it. I'll wait. Oh. I'm just gonna disappear.
Does she in the? Ibbot will know this better than me because I haven't read a new Fantastic Four series in a very long time.
Yeah, I'll get to that too because of the whole 20th Century Fox and Marvel quote unquote feud.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Currently, there aren't any Fantastic Four comics.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. Because I forgot that was going on. That's still a fight that's not over, well, not necessarily over, but there's no resolution that brings us comics back. But in recent years, in recent decades, let's say, did she have the force field thing too? Or was that just these movies introducing that?
Oh, no. In the comics, she had all that stuff. She had the force field. She could shoot, she could basically do like a push of force fields, those invisible force fields, like
like a force push,
spheres kind of things. Yeah, like a force push. Yeah, kind of
a little bit. Yeah.
If you think about it, it makes a lot of sense as time went by in the 70s and 80s, giving her these abilities to control light makes her insanely powerful because electromagnetic energy is everything, right?
Yeah, it's everywhere.
And so, it also explains how she's invisible. She initially is inadvertently controlling the light around her, right?
Yeah.
Hey, even reference this in the movie.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, they totally do. Yeah.
He says Mr. Fantastic says something when he's examining her, like, you don't actually become invisible. You're, and he's like, he gets interrupted while he's starting to explain.
Yeah.
Could have done without all the explanations. This movie didn't need any explanations.
That's my whole point. Right. That is exactly my whole point, which started this conversation, was I don't need to be told all this or explain to me why she does this or does that, or he does this or does that. Just give me, I am so sick of origin stories in movies. I am so done with it.
This was early on. You got to remember, this is one of the first of this current generation of Marvel telling at the theater. And so we were going, Spider-Man, every Spider-Man, it's like, oh, new origin story. Here we go. Mm-hmm. And the Fantastic Four, this is the origin story. And that's what made this movie kind of boring to me as a modern moviegoer, is looking at that origin story and almost all the fights and all the things that they had to do were in infighting. Almost everything was infighting. There was really no bad guy until Doom near the very end. Mm-hmm. And so it was kind of. It was a little, even though it was like an hour and 40 minutes, it felt like a lot longer.
By the way, side note for you, Dunaway, just to give you some support for your thoughts that Dr. Doom is your number one Marvel bad guy. I checked six total website lists ranging from lots of comic coverage type news sites, and they all have a list of 10 greatest Marvel supervillains of all time. All six. They have different order for all of these, but all six, number one is Dr. Doom. Mm-hmm. So you're not alone, I guess.
Yeah, I just want to cast my vote too. That I absolutely agree.
Yeah.
Magneto is always a distant number two. He's he's a perfectly good villain, but
he's kind of good too. Even in the
he's got flip-flops. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. His reasons, his methods. I don't know. That's what's great about the X-Men at its finest is it's making arguments, the way that people do about issues like. You know, if you're on one side of a very contentious issue or on the other side, both of you, in a lot of cases, have really great intentions, but one of you has a very different method as to how you think you should get there. And Magneto's always represented that in a way that's been really compelling and interesting. But it doesn't make him evil necessarily. It just makes him think that there's a different way. And that's more complex and more interesting in a lot of ways. But if you're looking for just straight up evil, choking dudes out, Darth Vader style, bastard hole, super smart, then Dr. Doom's your man. Yeah.
I mean, it was always just a power and vanity thing for him. I mean, he couldn't understand why no one would just say, you know what, you are the greatest person in the world, Victor. You should be leading us all. And
if Reed Richards had been such a dickhole and said, hey, let's make it the Fantastic Five, then they kind of brought Dr. Doom into the fold because they were all up there, man.
Mm-hmm.
He's part of the same group.
Sure.
Well, Dr. Doom is a direct response to the existence of Lex Luthor. Lex Luthor predates him by about 2 decades, about 20 years.
Yeah.
Right. And it's like everything about him is a reflection of what Marvel liked about Lex Luthor. He's like Lex Luthor got a PhD.
Yeah.
Could I have a trope alert?
Yeah, I've always, maybe. Wait, where is it?
Absolutely.
I have it right here.
It's the 21st century, and I was actually surprised at the character Inception stories having so much confusion, because I am really, really tired of confusion when a character realizes that they've changed. I'm so tired of it. And this movie, everyone is like that. Like, they're like, what's this? What's happening to me? I don't understand. Mm. How could this be happening to me? Yeah. It's not like anything extreme has gone on recently. Right. Like, and then they're confused. And I'm like, why am I sitting in a hot tub in the middle of the snow pack? Like,
stop. I would have preferred. Right. Yeah, I would have preferred. And this is just what I was thinking. I mean, storytellers, so many different ways of storytell. I would have preferred a storytelling where they just got on with it. It was just like, hey, we're in space, we're back down. Hey, we've changed. It's immediate. Let's get on
just
with
go
it.
Go straight to it. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, and right. They even made fun of you for not liking this trope by having Ben Grimm wake up and
oh yeah, I actually enjoyed that part. Now Ben Grimm, I wish they could have went a little further with how much he was in turmoil over turning into the thing. They showed it, but he was mostly angry. Chiklis did a great job. By the way, were those his real teeth?
No.
I'm not sure. Okay, so
according to the trivia, they were false teeth, and all his dialogue while he said it on stage was so muffled they had to do it later in overdub. So
love it. So Ben Grimm was really trying to sabotage his relationship, because he turned to the thing, then he immediately went home to his girlfriend and was like, do you accept me? And she's like, no. And and so it was like, man, you could have just... Settle down, man. Why are you in such a hurry?
Yeah, take it easy, son. Your time.
That was the thing in the movie that bothered me the most, by the way.
Yeah.
Was Ben Grimm turning into the thing and then going home. And not going home, but going close to home, going almost home.
Right.
Yeah. And then having her come out in her nightie. Yeah. Hey, Andrea from The Walking Dead.
Right.
Come on, Andrea, come on downstairs. Put your sniper gun down. There's no zombies out here. Come on out and let's talk.
I can't think of a better way to prepare you for what you're about to see than coming out in your nightgown and me just climbing out of the from behind the bushes as a big orange rock.
In this busy street corner thing that we live above.
Right, exactly.
So weird. That was weird.
Well, and how... And I'm, you know... I'm no geography major, but how do you get from the Alps to New York City on a train?
Well, there was a lot of convenient teleporting in this whole movie. I mean, at one minute, Johnny Storm is like doing his X Games, and it must be across from the Baxter Building because they literally saw him on TV, then ran downstairs and outside, and he's like next door.
Right.
There's a lot of easy traveling in this movie.
Yeah, it's very how did Varys get from the the Eastern Kingdoms all the way to Westeros in about half an hour. It's right. That kind of stuff.
I just want to wrap up that thought. So Ben Grimm goes home and wife is like, no, I hate you now. Like she just saw him and she's not even thinking about, can he be rehabilitated? Is this still exactly the same person? He just looks a little different. Like, no, I hate you now. She screams and runs back inside. And so now she is in possession of his home.
Yeah.
And, And then the governor's next day, over there too.
Yeah, that's true.
And then the next day he gets really famous. And that's when she decides to come meet him in the street and throw the wedding ring at him.
Yeah. Goes all the way down to the bridge.
Yeah. Where there's gridlock.
Go through.
Yeah, gridlock traffic. Nobody can move. There's just been this crazy otherworldly experience with buses and trains and crap hanging off the thing. And she walks up and gets to the front of the crowd somehow. Puts the ring on the ground and walks away.
She goes, suck it.
Yeah.
Let's see. I can think of no better time to do this
than right now. I had it on my finger in the street there. I could have done it there, but nope. I'm going to go to the bridge tomorrow after we don't. And nobody knows this is happening. It's not like there's cell phones and someone's periscoping it and she caught it on her feed.
Right.
It didn't exist in 05. People are running presentations with, I think those were like Trio phones or something. Like, this is the wrong time for that. That was really weird.
Yeah, I don't understand why this movie hated that woman so much that it made her into this horrible... She's like the second biggest villain in the movie, throwing her ring.
Basically, you just gotta... You just gotta basically make Ben Grimm the most sympathetic character of all and kind of explain why he's... you know, not like the other three, where the other three have all these great things they can do now, and but they can still put on regular clothes and walk around and get groceries and whatnot. But you've got to really shine a light on him as the outcast. I think they do really well with that.
Yeah, it's one of the intriguing things about that character. Like, that character is that in the comics. That's the reason why the Thing is so revered and stuff. Yeah. And I think he did a great job. Actually, the prosthetics, despite the fact that I think today you could do better with CGI.
You think so? I don't know.
Oh, I guarantee you could.
The effects
today.
Of that rocks. Those. I think his costume looked amazing.
I agree. Now I'm going to agree with you, but I'm just going to say this: the problem with the Thing is he's not massive enough. If you're just putting prosthetics on short commish, you know, like a little commish man. And so
I actually enjoyed it.
If you do like Warcraft level CGI for the Thing today, that totally works for me.
Oh, well, like they did with the Hulk in,
you
know, basically using whatever technique they use for the Hulk. And I'm trying to remember, I know they did CGI Thing in, the newest Fantastic Four. And I'm trying to remember if it was the modern looking thing with that brow that he's got.
Yeah. There's a couple of things in the comic series. If you read it, one of them, he's kind of like almost like a lava formation or something. He's very lumpy and just kind of
like the very first way you see him in the,
exactly. Then later on, it gets to these sharp cut edges and looks like, you know, like a big orange rock. And I'm going to say I prefer the practical effects look over the CG and anything I've seen recently. I enjoy a good CG, but I just don't think we're there yet. It looks removed and it looks odd.
It does. Can I throw one more trope alert on this topic?
Always. Here you go.
You so ugly, but you know what? A blind person will see you for who you really are.
Now that's from the comics, but yes.
It is. Yes. She is in the comics, the original inception of that character. She is the ultimate token. So the so-called token twofer, where Alicia Masters is both blind and black. She gets to represent the handicapped and all black people. It's true. I mean, go look at these comics.
No,
she's
totally true. In the comics, she wasn't black, though.
No. You're right.
They switched it. Yep. You're right.
Yeah. Because
her dad was the puppet master.
Yeah.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Yeah, so we're going to, you know, in a future movie, we could have had a black puppet master character. Right, which I think would have been great. I actually liked the puppet master as a villain.
Do you know how long this movie was in the inception of making a Fantastic Four film? They had optioned this movie for a Fantastic Four movie like in 1983.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's how far back this went.
Yeah, the Corman thing in 94, right? Wasn't it 94?
Right, the Roger Corman thing where they just got it to hold on to the rights and it wasn't ever supposed to be seen, which is obvious.
That was an interesting story. That thing that Corman put out was intentionally just to hold on to the copyrights. And so it wasn't intended to actually ever be really seen by anybody. Mm-hmm. It was just to hold on to it a little longer.
Yeah. I wish they would have done a better job of making sure it was never seen because
it got leaked.
I have a copy I picked up at Denver Comic Con or somewhere. No, it was years ago. Actually, it was before Denver Comic Con, and oh my gosh, couldn't even sit through one viewing of that.
Yeah, it's bad. I wouldn't mind watching it for this show, but I understand the trepidation there because it sounds like it's absolute.
By the way, underrated Marvel bad guy, Doctor Strange.
Oh, he's great. Well, I thought Doctor Strange was a good guy.
He's not a bad guy.
He's a good guy, isn't he? Doctor Strange.
He's good guy.
He's
Doctor Strange.
He's a good guy.
I could show you some books where he's pretty much bad guy.
Yeah, I mean they've played with him a little bit, like they dork, but he's not. You wouldn't put him in the list of super villains. Like
no,
he
for
is.
Sure.
He's definitely your hero.
I would put him in the same list that includes Loki. You know, like Loki is.
What? Oh, you're smoking crack.
I'm not.
Doctor Strange is a good guy. He's a vain surgeon who lost the use of his hands and then learned the mystic arts and looks somewhat like Benedict Cumberbatch now. And
his movie comes out what, December or November?
November.
Yeah.
Is that already happening?
Yeah, it's happening this year.
Yeah.
This is the
year. That's exciting.
We'll see how villainous he is this year. Maybe they'll go that direction. I don't know. You know, he is kind of a dick. I'll give him that. I'll give you this. Of all the Marvel heroes, who's the biggest dick? I'd put Strange right up there.
Oh, no, no. Biggest hero dick in the Marvel Universe. All right, here we go.
This is a fun one. This is a good one.
I think Tony Stark.
Okay.
Tony Stark. Absolutely. He is the biggest dick, yeah.
But he's also very, very...
Namor. Prince Namor.
Oh, yes. He is a jerk, isn't he? He's a jerk.
He's a dick.
There he is. You're right.
Yeah, he's kind of a dick. Scott Summers was a dick in that run where he took the X-Men in a bad place.
The Phoenix Five, yeah.
Hank Pym's kind of a dick.
Yeah.
Well,
he beat up his wife. All of these things far worse than anything Doctor Strange ever did.
Yeah.
Doctor Strange is just like he's just like a little magician dude. He's like, poof, look at this. I got a big ass cape. Wow.
Check me out. Card tricks.
So, poof, look at this.
Okay, so we're not counting pure villains.
Is this
villains,
your card?
Right? We're not counting pure villains because if so, Norman Osborn is the biggest dick ever.
Yeah, he's a pretty big dick.
Sure, yeah, sure.
In a lot of ways,
pure heroes.
Yeah, in a lot of ways, if you're talking DC, like, you know, you could say Bruce Wayne's kind of a dick and you could say,
Oh yeah, he's such a dick. God.
Yeah. A jick, you call him?
A jick. Yeah, a jick. Well, I think that was a glitch, but yeah, jick. He's a jick.
All right. He's a jerk dick. I got it. I see what you're saying. He's a dick and a jerk. Anyway, what else? There's other things. Sum 41 played music. Oh, yeah, go ahead.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, yeah, I just hate Sum 41, and they had a song in here. I just wanted to point that out.
No, I don't mind Sum 41. You know what? They're like the better Blink 182.
My gosh, this movie is so... squarely 12 years old with music.
It totally is. Yeah. Might as well be like Less Than Jake and I'm trying to think who else was popular.
Yeah, what was that
then.
Song
311
I was expecting a DJ Tiesto song because it just was like so 2004 2005.
Oh, big time. I'm gonna say I keep forgetting to mention this, but I'm gonna say because you reminded me of it, the role of Johnny Storm as played by Chris Evans, who would become our Captain America, and who I thought back at this time was way skinnier. He's way buffer than I thought. Even now, he gets buffer for Captain America, but he's a buff dude. Anyway, he's great in this. He is perhaps the one role where I don't feel like we had a bunch of wasted bad acted lines. Like, he actually kind of nailed just about everything he was asked to do. And big credit for that, because in my head I went, well, this is going to be weird. It's just going to be Captain America again, but just playing a different guy. He's going to be the same affectations, the same sort of approach and tone to the character. And I was dead wrong. He's like total, Nitro Circus, freaking X Games, whatever attitude, and kind of a dick also, but also kind of great. I really enjoyed his part in this.
Yeah, he totally nails. I think he totally nails the role. Yep. And all four of them really.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So much more so. I mean, so much more than the 2015 or 2014 Fantastic Four film. No, what I wanted to get back to really quick was we touched a little bit on the hot tub in the Alps.
Yeah.
The impromptu, how you get boiling water to not instantly just cave right through the snow on the side of a mountain, and you've got Maria Menounos, fresh off her extra gig. It was like, oh, sure, this doesn't seem dangerous at all. The water is boiling. It's on the side of a mountain. It's water being held up by snow. How could anything go wrong? Let me get in there with you.
Did you stay for the credits to see Maria Menounos credited as sexy nurse?
No.
Yes.
Really? Yeah. Hold on. Yeah. Oh, yeah, there it is. That's amazing. I didn't know she was. What are we supposed to know her from? I don't know her.
Well, you know her either from Extra, or I guess formerly Extra, because she and Mario Lopez.
Oh, the
really
desk
don't get
lady.
Along.
Yeah, the desk but lady with him. I got it. Okay.
Yeah, but she's a U.S. TV presenter. Like,
yeah, these days you know her from the 20 minutes before your movie starts when you go to the theater.
Yeah,
she's also in Sharknado 3. Oh hell no.
She worked exclusively for NBC for a while, so she was like, you would see her on the Today Show, and then later you'd see her on Access Hollywood and Extra.
Mm-hmm. She's very pretty.
Extra.
She is.
Yeah, she's very pretty, but I didn't buy that whole thing. It's like, all right, you got the cutest nurse, and she's somehow fallen for this bullshit, and now you got her on a helicopter doing jumps off of that to do some extreme sports skiing, and also she'll just go ahead and not think it's weird you're on
and
fire.
That's the part you couldn't believe.
I mean, her reaction to him was that makes it harder for me to buy the whole I'm on fire guy thing. Because right. her reaction is like, oh, well, I guess I will get naked and get in this fake hot tub that doesn't exist.
Exactly. Oh, you can't control when you start all of a sudden being covered with flame? Sure, yeah. let's make out.
Yeah, it's obnoxious. That part really bugged me, but she's lovely, so I guess that made it easier.
For whatever reason, 10 years ago, she hosted Eurovision. She went,
oh, really?
She went over to Europe and hosted Eurovision. And I was like, I knew that. I remember hearing about that. And so I decided to go look it up. Like, did any of the entries in the 2006 Eurovision result in a song that, you know, made it, that was anything? And the answer is absolutely not. I listened to so many songs from the 2006 Eurovision, and they're just awful.
I'll bet they're really bad. There's
The winner. The winner was a song from Finland, by the way, by an artist called Lordi, and the song is called Hard Rock Hallelujah.
Wow.
And it's actually not that bad.
Yeah.
But yeah, nothing that broke out.
Eurovision is a hoot. I just know that.
It is.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah.
It's a real hoot.
Gave us ABBA.
Yeah, yeah. It did give us ABBA. Thank you, Eurovision. For most of the shoot, I love this trivia. Michael Chiklis was terribly uncomfortable in the hot thing suit, obviously. Okay. So they filmed a lot of this stuff in hot weather. He hated it. But the final street battle, however, the one at night, was filmed in Vancouver in December. It was cold. Chiklis was warm and comfy and comfortable the entire time, and the other four in their skin-tight blue uniforms were freezing. Gotcha! Little revenge there at the end of the movie. Awesome. Way to go. Nice. Also, Jessica Alba apparently had a kidney infection during most of the filming and almost fainted a couple of times. So just when you start to think that Jessica Alba is a perfect human being with zero flaws, she's got a big old kidney infection. So take that. Mm.
Wow.
Yeah, it's
wow.
Nice.
I can't go there with you celebrating that.
Well,
Scott,
I don't want to celebrate a kidney infection. I've had one. They're miserable. But you know,
like how,
it's just
how
a
one of the first times that you get to actually see her use her power, and she's stripping naked on the bridge. The whole purpose of her using her power is so that they can get a little closer.
Yeah.
Like basically, it's we can't get through this crowd. Invisible woman, invisible and kind off. Of running back through us. Yeah,
that was pretty good. Apparently, also there's some statement from her that she didn't know about that scene until after she signed the contract, and then they kind of coaxed her into doing that scene because she's not one to want to do semi even remote nudity style
apparently,
things.
Apparently, all this was said before Sin City.
Yeah, I guess so. Good point. Actually, when was that? That was same year, right? 2005?
Sin City, around the same time.
Yeah.
I think.
Was she naked in that?
2005,
I know
she wasn't naked. No, but she was just a stripper in the, you know, in the middle of the club.
Stripper pole stuff, right?
If I remember stripper that right. pole. Well, stripper cowboy suit with lots of frills and turning Mickey Rourke on.
Wasn't the, weren't the kid, the.
What doesn't turn Mickey Rourke on?
Wasn't the Spy Kids mom topless in that? I think so.
Carly Gugino, yeah, she totally was.
Yeah, Spy Kids mom naked.
Spy Kids mom.
There's a trope right there, by the way.
Is there?
Spy Kids mom naked?
Yeah.
Hold on, the Spy Kids mom naked trope?
There's a, everybody's superpower is going to mess with their clothes. So we have super clothes. You wear these clothes, and whether you are as hot as the sun, or you turn invisible, or like these clothes are just going to go with you. They're perfectly fine. They resist everything. Why don't we make an airplane out of those clothes? Jesus, it would be indestructible.
Did they in the comics, they never explain that. Do they explain that?
That's exactly what they were. It was called Unstable Molecules. And it was the invention. I can't remember if it was Reed Richards. It must have been Reed Richards was working on something and came up with Unstable Molecules you could make a suit out of that wouldn't catch on fire and would turn invisible with you. And the explanation that, let's wear our same suits that we took into space that also got bombarded with cosmic rays because they'll do everything with us.
Yeah, it's a little weak.
It's insane.
It's a little weak. Yeah. I don't think they could have done that.
But this is a pretty common trope. Like we've talked about how, the Incredible Hulk has magic shorts, you know. Mm-hmm. It's not that unusual to have the clothes disobey physics in the exact same way the superhero does.
Totally.
So if they let this series just sit for another 10 years, let's say.
Yeah, give us 10. Mm-hmm. Give us 10 years, please.
Do you think what are the chances of them doing another origin story, or do they just get to it?
Yeah, I think the way that you do an awesome Fantastic Four movie is you open with them already having their powers, already in the middle of something. You turn it, because that's the thing that Marvel movies are doing great right now, is that the Captain America movies are kind of spy thrillers the Hulk movie is kind of a monster movie a little bit. The Avengers films are action blockbuster kind of things. And I think what you do with these is you make them kind of the old sci-fi science style movies of like the 60s. And you even kind of make it feel a little retro, like all the machinery, white and kind of portal looking, portal-esque.
Sure. Yeah. I'd be down with that. I like that idea.
You go right into it with them having their powers. You don't need to explain it. They got on a ship. It's because their origin story really is dumb in the comics. It's they snuck onto a base. They got onto a flight. They flew up there. Dr. Doom wasn't even with them. It was just the four of them. They got bombarded with cosmic rays. They somehow fell back to Earth. Fine. And then they
fight the Mole Man. It was awesome.
And then they started getting their power. Exactly. And then they fought the Mole Man.
Yeah.
For some superheroes, the origin story is everything, is the only fascinating thing. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
Like I'm nervous about a Luke Cage Power Man TV series. Because what's so interesting about him is his origin.
Yeah.
Like the fact that he goes to prison, that he makes this ridiculously bad deal to be the subject of experimentation, you know, and it actually works in his favor, you know, by happenstance and so on. Like after that, he's just a strong man walking around punching people.
Yeah,
like,
you're right. It doesn't have the Batman thing where you can do a lot of detective crap and you know, interesting, intriguing story things. And it'll be if that show works out, like if it's good, that'll be a real triumph, I think, because I agree with you. I think it's a
like with
Ghost Rider is another good example of that, where the origin story is kind of the best thing about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hulk suffers from this, too, mind you. Like
Hulk suffers.
The Hulk is always best suited in a group and does well with Avengers and stuff. But when he's on his own, you could argue it's just real rough to try to figure out another way to have him get mad, turn green and break things and then turn normal again. And, you know, his origin is more interesting.
I like the storyline where they approached all the different Hulks in the Hulk universe. I would like to see that. I'd like to see a bunch of different Hulks.
Yeah.
That'd be
Red
fun.
Hulk, Red Hulk, Planet Hulk, all that stuff.
Yeah, all that stuff.
Yeah, I think we're gonna get some of that because you got your next Thor movie is a buddy movie basically, and there's some mocap shots of those two joking around, so we know that's being made. Mm-hmm. Hemsworth and freaking
Ruffalo.
That guy, freaking Mark Ruffalo, so good.
I just realized while you were saying all that, it's a bit too much. Mm. I'm a bit overwhelmed right now
by all the hero things,
superhero movies.
Yeah, I'm like maybe we need to have like mandatory break time, you know, where we aren't bombarded with so much based on comic books.
You know what scares me?
What?
You know what scares me the most?
What?
Is the fact that this storytelling from the, you know, 70s, 80s, 90s, especially in comics, has been translated to the big screen so much because it was so influential to us growing up, and now we're the people making movies. So, in another 20 years, we're going to have some really big Pokemon movies because these kids are going to grow up and that's going to be their storytelling.
Yeah.
The and Smash so, Mouth documentary is finally going to come out.
Yep, exactly.
Right, I'm right at the top.
Wait for it.
I'm right at the top of the Pokemon generation. Like the cutoff is like a year older than me. If you're a year older than me, you didn't watch the Pokemon cartoon, but I did.
Yeah.
And like out playing Pokemon Go and everything. You know, it's people who are in their 30s. There's not a lot farther for this to go. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like, there is a new generation. My 6-year-old thinks it's fantastic, but it's just not going to go much farther than this. This is the extent of it, I think.
In 95, you know, which is roughly when all that happened, right?
More like 98.
Yeah, I guess it kicked off. I mean, 95, it was happening, but it wasn't till 98 that things really kicked off. I agree with the timeline, but. But I was, you know, 25 to 27 in that range and zero interest in that cartoon at all. But here I am out there all the time and Brian's on 26-mile bike rides getting Pokemon. And like, it's a super weird thing. But I'm ready to admit that I'm kind of at the end of my rope. I think I might be starting to be done with it.
Yeah, I'm just saying I don't see how a next generation is going to pour much more into the stuff from the late 90s, early, you know, 21st century.
Oh, it's coming. It's coming. Yeah. It's coming, old man Jordan. It's coming, old man Jordan.
You were trying to find something that's new. And I just feel like things like Pokemon are just an extension of previous stuff. Yeah. They're not.
It's an extension of what was old. There's no reason that this would not be a giant multi.
Like, that would be like saying the comics were brand new. They weren't. They were just Pulp Fiction, just evolved.
That's true. But look at it this way. Like Pokemon Go is huge now for two very specific reasons. One is there is a nostalgia thing happening that is beyond almost anything else. There's an entire generation that were kids, and now there are kids who are still into Pokemon, and this is just a big killer thing because of that. If Pokemon was an unknown quantity, if this was called
Ingress,
or even if it was more kid-friendly, like more focused on kids, you'd still wouldn't have this international, like unbelievable, huge, fastest-selling app ever, blah, 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 highest-grossing app of all time thing. It wouldn't happen. Like Pokemon is everything.
My imaginary analogy was the Minecraft real world game.
Yeah, that'll happen.
If somebody if instead of Pokemon Go, this had been real world Minecraft, is a great analogy.
Yeah,
it wouldn't have been anything like this.
It's just what's great about it. Here's my favorite thing about it, though, regardless of how long it lasts or who's into it or whether or not the future holds whatever. It's that an app on a mobile platform that isn't a Game Boy doubled Nintendo's market cap and increased their stock. No, doubled their stock price and increased their market cap to $7.5 billion. Like, and their name's barely on it. Like, there's, I think there's a copyright somewhere.
Yeah.
And that's it. And that alone is just insane to me. So
it is.
I don't know how it long is, it lasts, but
it, yeah. It should have doubled the market cap for Apple, which is impossible because Apple is already the biggest company in the history of the world. Yeah,
they're too big, but they're making money hand over fist. They're getting 30% of every freaking transaction, and because Nintendo has to split it three ways, because the Pokemon company is owned by three companies, they're just one of them. They're all subsidiaries of each other. It doesn't quite work the same on paper, but Apple's making all the money, like a lot of money.
You know, which always leads me back around to Fantastic Four and Marvel. Just imagine if Marvel could have gone back in time and held on to everything as it started making movies.
Oh, man.
Yeah, but would they be bankrupt now? I mean, it was selling all these properties off that saved their lives.
Yeah,
they're almost I'm just saying Marvel...
If
they had played their cards right, they had gotten... you know, the right casting and so forth, and made all their own movies.
Or seen the writing on the wall.
They could have ended up buying Disney instead of Disney buying them.
That's true. If they would have seen the writing on the wall and known what the future could potentially hold, I mean, it's woulda, coulda, shoulda, but it is interesting to think of it that way. I think that this idea that you originally mentioned, which we'll come back around to, which is the glut of hero movies and whether we should be getting sick of them or not, or overwhelmed by them, I think that we're probably heading toward a place of a little bit of fatigue, just a tiny bit. Mm-hmm. I feel it a little bit, and I love these things. They're going to have to do more to keep us interested than just recycle the same stories and ideas and tropes and origin stories. But also Star Wars is probably going to be the next thing to go make everyone go, oh my gosh, we're living in a renaissance, and then we're going to have a little bit of tiring on that. And then we'll move on.
Well, with them coming out annually and, you know, everything being Star Wars for all the new parks at Disneyland, the new Star Wars areas and stuff like that. It's probably, we could see maximum. What's the phrase? Maximum.
What do you call
overexposure.
It?
Overexposure.
It's overexposure, but there's a word. Peak Star Wars. That's what you're thinking of.
Peak. Yeah. I think basically as soon as Marvel comes out with and you'll argue with me about this, Scott, that they already haven't, but I think as soon as Marvel comes out with a disappointing MCU movie is when we're going to start to maybe see a little bit of change.
Avengers 2.
A disappointing mainline film.
Avengers 2.
Everybody, every film they've put out, there's a small contingent of people that are like, oh, finally they made a stinker, Ant-Man.
Yeah, but I love
Ant-Man. When they come out with a tentpole film that flops, all bets are off.
Avengers 2. Avengers 2.
I know. I knew that's why I prefaced it by that.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, Infinity Wars, how cool. Just to kind of piggyback on what you were saying a minute ago, if Marvel had held on to Fantastic Four, how cool would it have been to have the Fantastic Four as part of the Infinity War?
Oh, it would have been incredible.
Oh, absolutely.
Or would it be incredible?
Because, I mean, they're a galaxy family. I mean, they are, their missions are in space and the negative zone and, you know, and all these other dimensions and realities and stuff. And It seems like it would be just such a perfect thing having them and the Guardians of the Galaxy and all these team ups.
The best Avengers 2 is called The Civil War. I don't know if you guys saw that, but
right. I totally agree with that.
Age of Ultron was just a badly made film and did not perform the way Disney needed it to, even though it made a bunch of money. Didn't do what they needed it to. That is, I would say, the least good MCU movie. But as far as a pure stinker, like one that just sucks, that's not happened yet.
I want to give a little bit of credit to Fantastic Four, the property, because I think too often we get hung up on, this just isn't a good character for movies. This whole lineup of characters, maybe they're just not good for movies. And I really genuinely still believe that good movies are made by good filmmakers.
Yep.
And that the evidence for that is the distance between Schumacher and Nolan when it comes to making a Batman film.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's not the character. The character's fine. Now, admittedly, Fantastic Four, kind of weird. The characters aren't, they're not Batman. But I think Christopher Nolan could make a Fantastic Four film that everybody would love.
Yeah, probably. I mean, he doesn't even have to approach it from his typical sort of dark angle either. He could do a little brighter, optimistic version of it.
The key for Marvel, Disney, everybody, again, is engaging the right filmmakers. And God forbid there be a Star Wars one-off made by Zack Snyder, please God.
No, they're not going to. I don't think Disney wants anything to do with Snyder. This would be really good if the Russo brothers could just figure out a way to duplicate themselves and make a pair of them make a Fantastic Four movie. They have shown, I think, the most prowess in the groups of superheroes doing a thing, cohesive story, with both Winter Soldier and Civil War. I think that they could nail what we're trying to get out of Fantastic Four. They could nail it. And there's no way they're going to get hired by Fox to do it. This would all have to come back to Marvel hands the way Sony did a deal with Spider-Man or something. But without, barring that, let's assume that's not a problem. Those two could nail it. They seem to have a feel
for it. I think you'd want somebody just established in sci-fi who can do just a straight sci-fi film. And Alex Garland is who I'm thinking of, who did Ex Machina.
Oh yeah, dude.
And have it be just a straight up sci-fi film, not even a superhero film, a straight up sci-fi film.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I would sign up for that.
Yeah. Winter Soldier is essentially a spy movie. Like you said,
because they
approached it that way, it made it a better Captain America movie.
Yeah. If you maybe that's the problem with the Avengers films is they're just action films. They're not a thriller action film. They're not a espionage action film. I mean, they're just, all right, action film.
Right. Whereas
we've got, Guardians of the Galaxy, space opera, Ant-Man is a heist film.
Mm-hmm.
Avengers is just action.
Yeah. No, you're totally right.
More action.
I think that when you play to those genres in creative ways with superheroes, you do the best service to them. And you're right. A science fiction film is the right approach. Brian Ibbett wins.
And when you just said that they need to make it simplistic, but the first thought I had was like Netflix with Sense8 and Stranger Things and Jessica Jones.
Yeah.
Like you can take great characters and great stories and wrap them up in very little and they stand well.
Yeah, and you could do, listen, if you're gonna give me a 12-episode series somewhere and you give an episode to origin story, fine. No problem.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
I'll watch your first episode origin story and then give me, 10 great episodes. It's fine.
I'll watch your stupid origin story.
I just don't want the whole
Spider-Man. I'll agree with that 100% as long as it isn't Spider-Man.
I don't want to see no more Spider-Man origin stories, please. Yeah. Please, no more. Please.
Don't you find it weird that things like Sense8 is a 12-hour long movie is what it is.
Yeah.
Like never, everybody
never saw that.
Watched
How was
it.
That? You like that, right?
We gave up after 2 hours of it. Did it?
It's wonderful. It's a beautifully told, beautifully shot 12-hour long movie. It's excellent. I think everybody would enjoy Sense8. I don't know what's missing for you.
I didn't even start it, and I think I may have been. Brian said, "Yeah, we started, but we weren't totally sure." And I think I just said, "Well, there's a billion other things to watch," and I put it off. But maybe I'll.
Yeah, I am excited to watch Stranger Things. Everything I hear about that is fantastic.
Yeah,
it looks great. How many times? I got a question for you guys. Yeah. I would love for someone to count how many times we said fantastic during this episode, because we've said it a lot. And I'm curious, do we always say it? And I've just never been aware of it. You know, it's kind of like when you get a new car, it's like, hey, everybody's driving my car. Well, how did everybody get this car?
Yeah.
And we've actually even diminished the real meaning of fantastic, which doesn't just mean great. It's supposed to mean otherworldly. Yeah. Like it's, oh, this story is just fantastic. Like it's unbelievably out there.
Yeah.
Right.
Instead of just being, oh man, these noodles are fantastic.
There's never been, no one has ever said that and been truthful.
And lived. Yeah.
Right. Right.
All right. I got a final trope here for everybody. And I hate this one.
Final trope.
It's the ending. We'll call it the Indiana Jones warehouse trope. I can't. Can't stand it.
Doom in a.
Yep. Lock him away in a, what was that? Just a big container.
Trailer.
A shipping container.
A shipping container to Latveria.
Is that where he's going back to?
Yeah.
Latveria, dude. Frick.
Boom.
It's a terrible
where he can recover and come back for subsequent films.
I say that and I kind of like Black Panther's fake place. I like that name, but I cannot stand the name of this one. It's terrible. But anyway, just putting him inside of a container and then showing a ship with a billion containers like it's the warehouse for Indiana Jones. That worked for me in 79 or whatever year that was. 80. What year is it? That came out? Whatever it was. When I saw Raiders of the Lost Ark, I was like, oh, they've put it into a place where there's a million mysteries and no one knows. Top men are on it. Top men.
And then they'll have a movie called Warehouse 13 to focus on all of that.
Yeah.
Can we come back one scene?
Yeah.
Because there's a trope that I hate so much. I was stomping my feet. The trope is, let me explain science to you, and then what you depict is not scientific.
I felt that. Same thing.
Yeah,
Mr. Fantastic. You know what happens to plastic when you superheat it?
Oh.
How about when you cool it? How about when you stretch it over your crotch?
Yeah. So, Mr.
It's like what happens to a frog when you strike it with lightning, right?
Yeah, exactly.
The human torch is superheating Victor Von Doom. And Mr. Fantastic yells out, guess what happens when you rapidly cool a molten metal? And I'm like, an explosion? There's going to be an enormous explosion. If they turn a freaking fire hydrant on a human-sized amount of molten metal, there's going to be an explosion.
Yeah, that
it's
stuff
going
will
to
pop.
It's going to impact all the buildings around him.
Yeah, it doesn't just freeze you.
No,
yeah.
That didn't happen. He didn't shatter. No,
right. He should have exactly. There would have been cracking, and poor Nip Tuck guy is just going to get mangled to friggin' pieces inside that thing.
Yeah. And you know that was hard enough to believe, but then I was like, why didn't they just leave Von Doom there? He made a really cool statue and just put, like, little plaque around him. Don't be a jerk or something. Don't be a tool.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what if they really fully explained what the powers of his metal armor were, but I don't care if it blocks fire. You put that much fire, you basically are going to have a nice metal container of Victor Von Goo.
Yeah, Victor Von Goo. Very well said. Yeah. Hey, can you tell
my Twitter post?
And again, the trope, another trope that drives me crazy in all of these movies. Why not get rid of your problem? I mean, he was a huge problem, bad enough that they had to kill him in the street.
Yeah.
So why not then say, oh, hey, Human Torch, would you pick him up and fly him up into space?
Yeah.
Just get rid of your problem. Make it so that there's no chance he's coming back.
Yeah.
Right. Or Sue Richards could have easily just put like a force field around his head. No oxygen. Boom. Done.
Yep.
And they would have been like, oh, what happened? He just died. And she's like, yeah, I don't know. That was really weird.
Yeah,
it was
weird. You guys see that? It was like some kind of weird bended light. I don't know what was going on. I'm just Invisible Girl. Don't talk to me.
Yeah, look, I'm sitting on the chair. Or am I? Yeah.
Yeah. That's you're all right about these. These are bad
ideas. What if Invisible Girl stole Wonder Woman's plane?
Oh, then we'd have an actual thing I couldn't see in the sky. Because as it stands right now, you see her sitting there.
By the way, is this movie the first time that she balks at being called Invisible Girl and says that she's Invisible Woman?
I don't know.
Yeah, I can't remember if they did that in the newer one. I'm pretty sure. I feel like they just went straight to Invisible Woman in the new film.
Oh, did they? With Mara?
No, I mean the first time for the character. Like, she's really consistently referred to as Invisible Girl until some point, and I'm wondering if it's this movie or earlier.
I really like that Mara Rooney.
Mm-hmm.
I think she's a
Kate Mara. Kate Mara.
Kate Mara. Is it Kate or is it her?
It's Kate Mara. Yeah.
Why am I thinking of? Oh, it's her sister. Is Rooney
the,
Mara?
The girl with the dragon tattoo.
Right. Yeah. So it's Kate. Yeah, there it is. All right, I'm looking her up. I like her a lot.
One more quick question. Speaking of Netflix original series, has anybody seen the series Between?
No.
Between?
No.
No.
It's the Oreo story. The origins of Oreos. Or
yeah.
No. Not that. Okay.
It's just allegedly a sci-fi thriller that's on Netflix that they made.
All right.
And I've never heard of it.
I would watch that just based on that short description. I'd be totally in. Hey, Film Sackers. Taking a minute out of the proceedings here to talk to you about our sponsor, Host Papa, today. That's right, hostpapa.com. You guys have to host websites. You have to, you know, put something on the web, right? Some of you out there might even think, I want to do a small business that's all about, I don't know, prop making from famous films. But in order to do that, I need good hosting. And I'd say to you, that's right, you do. And I've got a great answer for that. Hostpapa.com. They have complete turnkey solutions that make it easy for small business owners like you, or if you're a digital entrepreneur, freelancer, whatever, to get a website up and running. Littery has everything you need for your business needs, including lightning-fast servers, professional email, automated website backups, cutting-edge security, and hundreds of cloud-based productivity tools. There's no limit to how awesome your website can be. Easy-to-use drag-and-drop website builder, simple one-click WordPress installer. So easy. So simple. Easy. Sneezy. 24/7. 365 support. That's award-winning support, by the way. And you can get a free dedicated 30-minute one-on-one training session with one of their experts. No other website does that. No other host does that. Here's the best part. $3.95 a month is how low these things start. It's incredible. They even throw a domain in for free. So coolmovieprops.com could be yours, along with a very inexpensive monthly fee. And there's no risk because HostPop offers an unconditional 30-day money-back guarantee. So if you're not happy in 30 days, boom, no one's the wiser. All right? But you're going to be happy. If you already have a website hosted someplace else, they'll migrate your website and email over for free. Here's all you got to do. If you're that small business owner, digital entrepreneur, or freelancer, visit hostpapa.com/filmsack and see what our friends at HostPapa have to offer you. Because they're fans of this podcast, they're offering the listeners an exclusive 15% off new shared hosting accounts. Just enter the code FILMSACK at checkout for a 15% discount. That's hostpapa.com/FILMSACK and use the code FILMSACK to get 15% off powerful, reliable, and secure web hosting solutions for small business owners. Thanks, HostPapa. Let's do some, I think we should do some clips now. We got some clips to do.
Yeah.
And they're not that many because, I don't know, the dialogue is kind of lame in this movie. But anyway, we'll start with this one with Ben Grimm before he was the thing.
Reed, what are we doing here? This guy's fast food strip mall science.
Yeah, little dub, overdub there, getting used to the overdub. So later in the movie, you could do it all the time. That's good. So much of this whispery shit, by the way. Mm-hmm. This is the thing I hated most about the movie, especially Von Doom. He was all, constantly just, he's like a low talker in Seinfeld. Just kept going, I'm like, what are you saying? So here's an example.
Maybe even pay off your fourth mortgage on the Baxter building.
What the? That's maybe, from the movie?
Yes. Yeah, he gets really loud at first and then, so annoying to me. Hate that.
That is ridiculously bad.
Yeah, he does it the whole movie. I hated it. All right, Ben is not having any.
I cannot take orders from the underwear model.
Oh, come on now,
that Ben. Wingnut washed out of NASA for sneaking two Victoria's Secret wannabes into a flight simulator.
That's right. Vic Mackey on the trail, man. Going after, I can't remember who, other people's names in the Shield, so I'll stop trying to do that.
and bad guys.
Yeah, and bad guys. Well, he was kind of a bad guy. Oh, that show is so good. If you guys have never seen the Shield, you owe it to yourself to watch the Shield. It's amazing. It is, I think, the first of, like, it predates Sopranos, predates Mad Men, predates all of this, like, TV new, like, Breaking Bad revolution kind of stuff. And it does it as good or better than most of those shows. It's so freaking good.
So good. All right, here's an old joke. What? Oh, Captain America and the Commish with an old joke. Here you go.
Digital camera, $254. Memory stick, $59. The look on your hard-ass former CEO's face when he finds out he's your junior officer. Priceless.
Okay, now.
Those commercials.
Memory sticks were a lot more than $59 in 2005. I wanted to point that out.
Who calls them memory sticks?
Well, because they were the Sony ones, right? The Sony ones.
Did we
were,
really? I always called them a thumb drive or a.
No, the Sony ones were the Sony ones were branded memory sticks,
like in your PSP,
yeah,
and that kind of stuff.
Yeah. And they were and they're proprietary. You can't get them anywhere else. And they were really expensive.
More like the SD drive than like the thumb drives and flash drives.
They called them memory sticks.
Camera, the stuff you'd jam in your camera.
And there's no way there was one as cheap as $59. Do you remember Dunaway when the PSP? When you wanted to get new memory sticks for it, they were like $180 or something.
It was insane, and it's like all the other memory in the universe was so much cheaper.
Yeah, it sucked. Sony was
Sony likes creating shit that you can't use in anything but a Sony product.
Yeah, right. It's lame. F them.
I still have memory. What was it? Memory Core Duo. What the hell were they called? I have them here.
Memory Core. Yeah, you're talking about the what was that? It was the Duo.
Yeah, plus
something like that, right?
What was the disc?
But
mini
you couldn't use it in anything else. Like I have a thing full of SD cards here.
Yeah,
SanDisk
mini discs you had that were like that. They couldn't. Yes, they didn't have. They wouldn't license
it. Did they do Betamax?
Yes. Wasn't that a Sony thing? That was also Sony.
They did Beta, but they lost it to VHS, and they also did the Blu-ray.
Yeah, but everyone accepted that. Yeah,
I had the HD.
Here's a good line for you if you want to use it next time you're I don't know with a girl maybe.
Well, you're going to have to, Victor, or we pull out.
Okay, there you go. There's that.
that's what he said.
Memory, here is Memory Stick Duo. 32 megabyte Magic Gate memory PSP Memory Stick Duo.
Now, you said megabyte.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Imagine that. Right, yeah. I know. 32 megabytes. Ooh, I can put 4 songs on here.
Yeah. That seemed big then, and it was probably $100-something for that. Oh, my gosh.
I'd like you to replay the clip because... There's like 3 times in this film that he's threatened with them pulling out.
Yep.
It drives me crazy.
Here it is again.
Well, you're going to have to, Victor, or we pull out.
There's the first one. And it's when he's in that giant chair. Little tiny man in a giant chair.
Or
we pull out. You know, like a wiener. Here's the thing about fire.
Got fire! Thanks, you're pretty good too!
Oh, that joke.
You're
on fire. Thanks. You're pretty good too.
Yeah. And they use it. They use it like 8 times in that. You're really hot. Yeah. Thanks. I know.
They kept doing it over and over. It's like, okay, we get it.
You're pretty stupid. I know. Yeah, you are too.
And then when they actually get to his catchphrase, you can barely hear him say it.
Yeah.
There's like 3 times in the movie he says flame on and you can barely hear it.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Right.
He did well, and there's one point where Ben Grimm says flame on, buddy, or something, or when they were finally getting along later. I don't know. This is bullshit.
Well, you know what? Hey, at least we didn't get Robbie the Robot.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. And that was a cut scene because they actually had a Robbie the Robot shot.
Did they?
In the movie. Yeah, it got cut. But then, like, some deleted scenes, you can see him on one of the shelves, apparently.
Oh, well.
Oh, really?
Trivia.
Good choice. Hmm. Take that out of there. Here's something. I don't know what this is.
You want to be scared? Fine.
Oh, Matt. Yeah.
Fine.
It's like 3 of them said it. Here is going to be Ben. What? Ben. Oh, you're going to be Ben. You're going to go to Bennigan's is what I wrote, but I know what it means. So it's Bennigan's. Not. You're not going to Bennigan's.
Oh, wasn't Robbie the Robot. It was Herbie. I'm sorry.
Herbie. Yeah, wrong. Robbie's the one from.
From Fantastic Voyager.
No.
Swiss Family Robinson. Lost in Space.
Warning. Yeah. That guy. All right, here's this.
You're going to be Ben again.
You're going to go to Bennigan's.
You're going to be Ben again.
So that's what he says, right? You're going to go to Bennigan's.
You're going
to
get a Monte Cristo.
Yeah, Monte Cristo.
Is there still Bennigan's?
No.
I
there's probably one
actually,
or two,
there,
right?
Somebody corrected us that there is still a Bennigan's somewhere.
But it's privately owned, right? Like it was a...
right.
So they're no longer a franchise.
Somebody.
It's a different... Might. Yeah, I mean, it's even a different logo, but I bet you there's still random shit nailed to the walls. Because that was the whole. They started that whole craze of random shit. No, there's a bunch of them.
Really?
Holy cow!
Yeah. Really,
Tyler, Texas.
They're all in the south. Let me guess.
There's actually some closer to Brian Dunaway than any of the rest of us. There's
what?
There's a few in Texas, three in Texas. There's a couple in Florida. Nothing in the Carolinas. You either have to go up to Maryland or down to what looks like Tallahassee, maybe.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
Panama City.
It's all the
way
south.
Way further west.
It's all the south, dude. Hey, check this out. Their Twitter account says, our limited time only Ruby Ginger Frizz is available for summer evenings.
Ruby Ginger Frizz?
Ruby Ginger Frizz. On the stage, center stage, everybody. Put your hands together.
Right. Next up on the main stage, Ruby Ginger.
Ruby Ginger
this
Frizz.
This is my failed porn star name, is Ruby Ginger Frizz. Should really change that because the Ruby Ginger Frizz kind of went out in the 70s.
Yeah, no one's into that anymore. Right. They take that off.
Speaking of, what happened to Red Lobster? I just searched for my nearest Red Lobster.
Yeah.
And it's a long way away.
I've got three that I can get to within the space of 30 minutes.
I've one that I can get to in five.
Or so. Let's race.
Yeah, let's go.
It's for the seafood lover in you.
Yeah.
And it's kind of crap.
The one, oh no, it's not great. The one near me is a Pokestop as well, so you can get balls and stuff.
Could you get Magikarp there?
Yeah. Oh yeah, always. Everything tastes a little fishy, though.
Which my child coined is now named Sideways Derpfish.
Yeah, and he's right. He's right.
Yep.
He's dead on the money.
You can rename all your Pokemon. It's fun to go through those and name them based on what you see. You know what I mean?
Sideways Derpfish is my favorite.
It's harder to sort them after, but it's a great thing to do. All right. Here's where are your ears?
Where are your ears?
He literally said what I said, so there's that.
That is a really good question.
Yeah, his ears are in the rocks there in the side of his head, I guess. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
There's some really mundane things going on with these superpowers. Mm. You know, like he's sitting there asking, where are your ears? Like, you know, the thing is going to make orange juice. The human torch is going to pop some popcorn.
Yep.
That science messed with me, man, because if you've ever made that popcorn, you can't just hold it in one hot spot. It'll burn like nobody's business. You got to shake that thing around.
Well, he didn't feel the heat, right? But then Plastic Dude or Fantastic Man is pulling toilet paper from a room where it shouldn't be. I don't know why it's in there.
You're having a really hard time saying Mr. Fantastic.
You really
Fantastic
are.
Man. Fantastic Man.
Hey, did you guys notice on Fantastic Man's arm that they like the hair follicles were like like just used a clone tool or something?
Oh, it was the worst is when he's shaving.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. That's some bad CGI. Right. Some bad video toaster work there.
Why would you give yourself more landscape to have to shave?
Yeah.
Right.
Super weird.
No man would do that.
None of that looks good now.
And couldn't you just stretch out all your pores and just let the hair fall out?
Yeah.
Right, yeah.
That's a good point.
Follicles just go plop.
Yeah, they just fall out. They would, wouldn't they, if you widened all the holes? Right?
Yeah.
That's all that's holding them in there.
Right, you're saying Mr. Fantastic would be like bald from head to toe.
He could be if you wanted to be. He doesn't have to be.
He can do whatever he wants.
But he could be, yes.
Yeah, stretch marks, that guy, man. I don't know what this says.
That's what they're calling it. The Fantastic Four. Cool.
Oh, I know what it was. I wrote Mubi, but I meant to say the name in the movie. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
They said.
Oh, yeah.
Now, was this the first time this happened right here?
Welcome back to the Baxter, Dr. Richards. I've got the usual for you. Good to have you back, sir.
Is this the first Stan Lee moment? Or
right,
it can't be. No. 2005?
X-Men? Was he in
X-Men? The first X-Men film.
I don't remember.
Yeah, he's getting an ice cream from a guy at the beach when the dude who was the senator who's trying to pass the anti-mutant deal.
Right, that turns into like a fish blob or whatever he did.
But even that seems, 2000 was the first time we saw Stan Lee.
No, it was way before that.
When?
It has to be way before that.
He wasn't in Blade. He wasn't in...
Yeah, what else is there? He wasn't in the first Spider-Man.
Okay, so I'm looking at his list.
No, he had to
way
be.
Back.
There it is. Yeah, first one was 2000, hot dog vendor in X-Men.
Wow.
Then helpless bystander in Spider-Man.
Two, right? Or one?
No, first one was in 2002.
So you're not counting TV series because...
Oh, no. Definitely not.
No, TV don't count.
That time he was on Heart to Heart. Man, what a cameo was.
Stan Lee on Love Boat.
And,
I would watch
Affleck
that.
Ben saves him from walking into traffic in Daredevil in 2003.
Tell me you wouldn't spend money to watch Stan Lee talk to Isaac at the bar on Love Boat.
Oh, my God.
I'd pay for that.
I would like to see this big screen
I've been having problems trying to come up with a new character. How about Bartender Man? Basically, he points at you and you hear music playing.
Yeah, he puts his thumbs up and points at you. Excelsior.
You know, Stan Lee should have been a character on Arrested Development. He would have been amazing.
I agree. Yeah. He should have been the Martin Short character throwing up in that Russian and that German guy would run around. Anyway, here's our next one. This is a everyone talks like this in Fantastic Four.
I can't pretend to know what we're dealing with here.
I hate that kind of stuff. There's lots of that. Bad dubbing.
So how long till this contraption's up and running?
I don't know. It's hard to say.
How long, Reed?
I don't know.
You don't know?
You don't know. I'm in another room recording on a whole different mic, probably a different month than we did this.
Oh, no.
So if his whole body is rock,
yeah.
Does that mean his throat is rock as well?
Yeah. It's so
That's
ridiculous.
Why he's graveling. Get it?
Everyone's
graveling.
There's a moment where Jessica Alba is looking at some sort of real-time x-ray and says, even your internal organs are stone. Yeah. And I'm just like, no.
Yeah, that doesn't seem like it. How would his heart pump blood?
What's the blood made of? No, this is wrong.
It's jacked up. Is he bleeding in the comics or no?
No, I don't think so.
No,
he's very impervious.
Okay. I mean, I kind of like his powers, to be honest. Like, of all of the super strength.
His power, he's strong.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
He's
like,
heavy.
The strength and invulnerability stuff is cool. Like, I think that's cool. I play him
of the four? I'd happily take Sue Storm's power over anybody else's.
Being hot? I don't know. You're going to pull that
no,
off.
No, not Johnny Storm.
No.
No, he means hot in the more
I would
like
take Invisible
lady.
Girl's power over the other three for sure because it's so flexible. I mean, you can do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He meant hot in the more, pervy way.
Oh, gotcha. The Jessica Alba power of being hot. I'm sorry. Yes. But I mean, all right, you know, you can basically do a lot of the things that everybody else can do except for Johnny Storm. But, you know, she could make a stretchy invisible force field and grab something just like Reed Richards can do.
Right.
She can be strong and kind of push stuff over with that force field.
So she's kind of got a little bit of everybody in there except for the heat.
Except for Johnny Storm, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure she could find a way to make heat.
He made me laugh. Yeah. Rub a couple stones together. He made me laugh when he went and almost went Nova or whatever inside the little Faraday cage thing and they sprayed him with all the hooch. That made me laugh. I laughed. This is about the only time I laughed.
This movie was way more, I couldn't figure out, you know, last time I was complaining that some superhero movies are too serious. This was like too comical, even all the way down to the music. There was so much comedy music. If you didn't know, you're supposed to be kind of having a good time and,
It felt like silly, it felt a little bit of, like you mentioned earlier, the Schumacher dude for the Batman movies. It reminds me a little of Schumacher's style approach to heroes, like the way Doom evolved and when that thing blew up in the building, it was all like purple light coming out of there. It looked like a Tim Burton scene or something.
Yeah.
There was a lot of that in this.
Everybody, freeze.
Here's a bad.
I gotta say, I like Tim's story. I think he makes good movies. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying this was a good movie.
I'm not saying this is one of them, but I'm saying
you like Ride Along, right? You're a Ride Along fan. Okay.
Yes, I think Ride Along is a perfectly funny two movies that has a lot of funny moments. Yes,
I need to see those movies. I've never seen them. I like Ice Cube a lot. I know I need to see those and like Friday and like movies that Ice Cube is best known for. But
Tim Story is responsible for Barbershop. He's responsible for Taxi.
Oh, like, wait, is the new Barbershop his then?
Not the new one. Oh, I don't think the new one.
People loved that.
But he directed the 2002 Barbershop, the original movie with the with Ice Cube.
People love that movie, those movies. That new one got like killer reviews. It came out this year. Let's see, Barbershop. Yeah,
he didn't direct that one.
The Next Cut in 2016. Yeah, people liked that. I want to see that. That's got Common in it, and he's a badass. Anyway.
Taxi, people like to point out that Luc Besson was a producer on the movie Taxi, but I think it owes
the
itself.
The Queen Latifah, Jimmy Fallon one?
Yeah. I think it owes itself more to the director, Tim Story. It's funny and fun.
Yeah. It's not the one with Doc Brown in it. Brian, the one on TV. Here's a horrible joke in the movie.
Is it true what they say about him, that he can expand any part of his anatomy?
Well, I've always found him to be a little limp.
What is that? Oh,
they apparently got the Happy Days audience in the background there for the...
No, they got the hens from the cartoons, from the Warner Brothers cartoons, you know, like when Foghorn Leghorn makes a sex joke,
yeah,
and all right. the hens laugh, play it again and you'll hear all those hens in the background.
I used to love the one that was always trying to go after him. What was the name of that bird? There was a chicken in that.
Oh, Chicken Hawk. Chicken Hawk.
But what was the girl? What was the woman that he was? She was
the spinster looking lady who was always after him.
She would always say, "Oh my," or something like that. She had a phrase, and he would try to get away from her because she was totally after him. Oh, I used to love those. I say, get the hell away from me, woman. All right, here's Dr. Doom's voice, robot voice.
Dr. Richards, allow me to begin your lesson. Chemistry 101.
I did not kill that man. He sounds like the iRobot voice.
Mm-hmm. There was a lot of bad science jokes in this movie.
Yeah, there were.
Mm-hmm.
You're not wrong about that. All right, I have a... Oh, here's a good bang.
I even have that same... Oh, maybe it's not that one. I have that same sound on my...
Where is it?
Board here somewhere. I'm looking for it.
All right. Wait for
testing,
it.
Testing, 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 testing. Is that it right there?
Oh, no. Sounds like you're in a hallway. Oh,
that's it.
No.
Yeah, you got it. You nailed
Where
it.
Am I? No, that's not it. Test, test.
Dr. Richards.
Is it like that?
Dr. Richards.
I'm in a cathedral. Come find
Dr.
me.
Dr. Richards.
Oh, maybe not.
I get a lot of reverb echo.
Ooh.
Do you have like a giant number 5 kind of thing on there? You got one of those?
No, I get this one, but that's like bad megaphone. All right, never mind.
Woohoo! You can do some Blur songs on there.
I could, yes, exactly.
Yeah. All right, here's, what's this? It's a good line from Ben Grimm.
Damn, I've been waiting to do that.
There you go. And then you got the Wilhelm scream. All right.
That was so bad. It's so
Oh, I completely agree. It was too loud. You got to do that quieter and more subtle. Especially since the rest of the movie is so damn quiet. Brian Ibbett's prom date sent us some audio from the big night. Mm-hmm. And this is what we got out of that. I don't know what the context is, but we'll figure it out.
That's my nose, genius. These are my lips.
Oh, wow. Brian, did you confuse her nose with her lips?
I did. Wow, I was trying to pick her lips. Yeah. And she says, no, this is my nose.
These are my lips. This is my ear.
Genius.
It's a really bad line. Yeah. All right, that's it for that. That means that we are ever so close to the checklist. ''2005 CGI looking bad? Check. That rock suit must smell like chiclets? Check. Kind of want to see what happens when you rapidly freeze rubber? Check. We got some connections in Star Trek. Now, here's the funny bit. Daryl didn't include any of the obvious ones here. So he's got William Hoy, film editor. You got Ralph Winter, ship worker. I don't know what that is. He's a ship worker on this show, I guess. And on TNG, he was just a bunch of other stuff. Gregory Jean, master model maker. Okay, great. But there are also some actors in here that were all on Star Trek, like... I meant to write these down. Hold on. Oh, shit. It's none of our main people. But there are a bunch of secondaries who were in Star Trek, and now I've lost my list. I had a little tiny list I kept, so I don't know how he missed that. Daryl, you got to work on your machine. But now
your machine is busted.
Your machine doesn't work. I'd give it a soundtrack grade of P for poo. I don't think it was very good. It was okay. But it wasn't much to speak of, so not so great on the soundtrack.
I enjoyed revisiting the whole songs of 2004, 2005 sound. They actually weren't, and there weren't any songs that you would have heard on the radio, but they sounded just like Linkin Park and so on.
Yeah. They did have that Sum 41 song, which I guess those guys are still around. They still do stuff, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Didn't that singer OD on like a brick of cocaine or something and ended up in a... I don't know. There's some story recently about
it. You don't snort the whole brick.
Yeah, eat it. He's eating it. It's a problem. He's eating it.
Oh, my gosh. That's even worse. You don't eat the whole brick.
It's a bad idea. Brickier.
Just lick the brick every day or something.
It's like a salt lick. All right, check this out, everybody. It's Twitter post time. This is where you guys sum it up in 140 characters or less. I'll start with Randy.
Fantastic Four. As soon as we realized what this movie had become, we should have taken off the ring this movie gave us and thrown it at it.
Yes.
The movie. Big, ugly, jerk movie.
It's so funny. You remember her. You remember her throwing it, but she actually just set it on the cement.
Yeah,
but you
and then he couldn't. No, that, and then he couldn't pick it up. It was sad.
And he has to walk exactly right.
Yeah.
She threw it down very slowly. It was a very slow throw.
It was a slow throw.
Gentle throw down.
Slow throw. No. All right. I don't know what I made that sound for. Brian Dunaway, you're next.
Fantastic Four, like looking directly at Captain America's happy trail, it fundamentally altered my DNA. In my pants.
The happy trail.
Wow. Well done. And finally, Brian Ibbett.
Fantastic 405. Great casting. Good characterization. I'm not even creeped out by the fact that Reed Richards is dating his 13-year-old babysitter, but the science pushes this shit right out into the negative zone, which is what I call my toilet.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah, I also call your toilet the negative zone.
Honey, I'll be in the negative zone.
Just, oh, my gosh. There's an Isles.
Yeah. Hold my calls. I'll be in the negative zone. All right. Well, I with all that out of the way, it appears we have an alternate title. First one, what's that thing in the freeway?
Oh, that was great.
And finally, the other option we can choose from is my favorite, Whisper Von Doom. That's pretty good because he hardly talks loud. Get it? All right.
Right.
I got an email from a listener here. This is about Reese's Pieces. All right. So let's get back to the ET world and listen to what this guy has to say.
Hey, Film Sack. I just finished listening to the ET episode, and I wanted to weigh in on pronunciation. My name is David Risi. R-I-S-I is the spelling. It's Italian. The candy is Reese's Pieces, more like the name Reese. So I just thought I'd put in my 2 cents. Love the show. Bye.
The problem isn't the Reese's. The problem is the Pieces. It's supposed to be Pieces.
The problem is that he begins his phone call with, I'm going to help you out with pronunciation.
Yeah,
pronunciation.
Yeah, well.
He sounds like me. That's my brother.
That was some kind of help.
With it. Yeah, it was a little bit. But listen, Brian, the reason we were teasing Brian Ibbett or Dunaway so much is because he says Reese's Pieces. And I'm fine with
because
Reese's.
Because you would be foolish to say Reese's. Hold on, stop. Pieces.
No,
that's hard.
That's not hard.
Reese's Pieces.
You either say Reese's Pieces or Reese's Pieces. That's simple.
But
that doesn't sound right.
That's named Reese.
Yeah.
You don't have a grasp on the English language, Scott, because we do it the easy way. So whatever's easiest to say is what eventually becomes.
Yeah, like Reese's Pieces. That's easy. Say it that way.
That's
the
wrong.
Because the guy's name Brian.
Now you're messing up Reese's.
But Ibbett's right. The guy's Reese's.
You're sacrificing Reese's pronunciation, like you said, for, you know, butchering pieces.
No. Okay. There was a dairy farmer and shipping foreman for the Milton S. Hershey Company named H.B. Reese. And he invented the way to create peanut butter cups, and his name was Reese, not Reese.
Yeah, and you don't say, hey, is that Reese's car? You say, is that Reese's car?
Right.
Reese's is the possession.
I say it any damn way I please.
Well, I knew that was going to be the bottom.
I don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
What's going on right now?
I don't know. Do you smell toast?
Whatever, Lord E.
Lord.
Wait, when did? Oh, earlier when he was talking
during
about
the Eurovision discussion.
Right. Lord E.
I don't know if he was talking about the same Lord or not.
It wasn't.
Yeah,
I
not
was
that.
Talking about
did
a Finnish,
say Lord E?
Not the Royals Finnish. Lady. Not the Royals teenager. You're talking
right,
about the
some Finnish artist named Lordy.
She would have been.
I figured as much.
She was like 6 years old then or something. Lord would have been. Mm-hmm. Now she has band meetings. All right. I'm going to now tell people that next week is our 300th episode. And big shock, everybody, even though it's not really streaming anywhere, there's lots of places to watch it. Many of you own it. If you don't, you rent it for a couple of bucks on your favorite streaming channel of choice or service of choice. 300 for our 300th episode. The movie 300.
Yes, it has to be.
What year did that come out? 06?
Yes.
So 10 years now. Since that movie came out, which is crazy talk to me.
And Gerard Butler has proven that it's about the only thing he can do that's not a rom-com.
Yep. Well, he had the Olympus Is Falling, Fallen, whatever.
Yeah. Okay.
Olympus Is Falling.
All right. Okay.
He had, wait, there's other stuff. He had one where was like a terrorist.
Fassbender was in this. Oh, I'm even more excited to see it.
Fassbender's in this? What?
Yeah. Yes. He plays Stelios.
Yes.
I didn't know he was in this.
As is Cersei Lannister.
Yeah, I knew she was in it. Yeah. She shows a boobie. Great. Yeah.
There's a single one.
She does well, and she never does in the Game of Thrones. That was a fake
she
lady.
She does.
No, it was a fake.
Oh,
lady.
You're right. That whole walk of shame.
Well,
thing,
the walk
that
of
was
shame
body...
wasn't. Yeah, but yeah. The first season, I'm pretty sure. The first episode is what's his face pushes Bronn out the window. I'm pretty sure you see a boob.
I don't think so. I think she was dressed. I think that was all simulated something from the rear. Is what was going on there. I'll bet you I'm right. Tune in next week
when there's more talk about Cersei's boob.
I had read somewhere that she had said after 300 she didn't want to do any more nudity, and I'm pretty sure she stuck to it. I think she has not done any of that. So I could be wrong.
I am looking forward to it for David Wenham. That guy can just, he should be in everything. Faramir from The Lord of the Rings.
Oh, yeah, he's in it. He narrates, right? He's got the narrator.
He's the voice that you keep hearing.
Got the thing over his face. Patch thing or bandage or whatever. I'm a huge fan of 300. This is back when we thought Zack Snyder could do no wrong and he was gonna go on forever and be wonderful. What?
Just so, for the record, every time before we've watched a movie, Scott has said he's a huge fan of it. The next week there is contention.
Well, I'm sure there will be a little bit. I don't know. I actually really don't know. I think it holds up, but it's been a while, so I don't know. Apollo's in it from Lost. He plays Xerxes. You got the weird underwater swimming ladies, which also have some nipples, I believe, is my memory.
Pretty sure they have nipples. Regardless.
Yeah. What else happened? There were some other cool things that went on. A guy got kicked down a well after he was informed where he was. So all of that happened.
Enlightened.
Yeah. After he was enlightened about what city he was in, he was then kicked into the well. It's going to be real good. I'm very excited. And also just the idea that we're hitting 300 episodes is exciting. So there's that.
You like us. You really like us.
You do. You really do. and everyone at home who's hurriedly trying to find naked Cersei Lannister, good luck. Good luck to you.
All right, fine.
Because other than her walk of shame, I thought looked so good that I thought she broke her deal.
Yeah, no, that was definitely a body double. But I thought in the first season, the first time you see her and Jamie doing it, I could have sworn that. They were doing it. They were banging.
They were bonking.
So that was up in the tower, right?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure there was like a, I don't want to get too graphic here, but I think there were a sort of simulated choo-choo train style something going on there.
What the?
Choo-choo train? You just turned on all.
What is it?
I'm sorry, what?
I didn't want to just come right out and say doggy style, but that's what I mean.
Hey, honey, you want to do the choo-choo train?
Did you just coin a phrase, or is that something you've heard before?
No, I just made it up as I went.
Okay.
I'm trying to spare some listeners from discomfort.
Oh, my
God,
that's hysterical.
I just meant that. But, yes, that's happening for sure, but I don't think there was any kind of booby. I could be wrong. God.
That made my day.
Yeah.
Choo-choo train. All right, look that up on the Urban Dictionary. Surely has a definition for choo-choo train, I'm sure of it. All right, so come back for that. 300 next week. Filmsack.com is the website. Voicemails can come to us at 801-471-0462, just like that guy did. You can also email us, filmsack@gmail.com. Find us on Twitter, @FilmSack. Review us and give us good scores wherever you get your podcasts. That's going to do it for us. For me, for Brian, and for Randy.
I don't give a shit.
We'll see you next time. Well, I didn't mean to click that. That was an accident.
It's leaving time.
I don't know why I clicked that button. This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com. Yeah, like the 5 key and the 6 key are next to each other. 5 key plays this.
Imagine that.
See right there? That's 5. And I hit 6.
I don't give a shit.
And that's not the one I meant to hit.
I think that was a good, it was great timing.
It was poor timing because it sounded like I was saying, I don't give a shit that Randy's here. And I didn't mean it for to sound like that.